Welcome to the Real Deal Podcast. I'm Maddie Marshall, and this webcast is brought to you by ansgear.com. Check it out. They have ridiculous prices on pretty much everything that you need in the game. And I am incredibly excited to have my fellow compatriots, played many years with, Rich Telford and Thomas Taylor from Sacramento Excessive in the house. How do you guys feel about this year? You know, I mean, coming into the PSP now, I mean, are you guys super stoked on this? Do you see it as another trial to just, endure? So, I mean, where's your mindset at right now?
I honestly am a big fan of the MPPL. I really like those guys. I feel like they've been fighting the fight for all the right reasons. You know, not to be a big company or not to take over the world or not to tell other people what to do, but just to help grow paintball. I've always thought the PSP runs good paintball events. There's a lot of things in the PSP that I don't like, but we are where we are, so we'll just deal with it. You know, we were talking about on the way down. You're like the concept of coming out of your division in first place and automatically being seated in the semis or the finals. Like that's just goes against everything we've always come up in paintball. Like you have a bad 1 or 2 days, and you struggle. Because maybe you had a harder vision or whatever reason. But when Sunday starts, everyone's got a fresh, clean plate, and you start over and you go from there. So I don't think that's the most cool thing in the whole world. And there's other little things like that. But we are excited to play against new teams we haven't played before. We're really excited about the webcast, obviously. And we're excited about the challenge, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it is the best teams in the world. They're all combined now in the same league. So
yeah, you know, I mean, and that's the... You know, I feel like last year minus Heat, actually Heat did play the one event.
Yeah.
We got to play, you know, all the same teams, you know, in a different format, and we beat them. You know, we beat them. We went out there and we proved we can beat them. You know, and so coming in here, you know, to be able to do it behind a webcast where people get to see that, yeah, bring the challenge on. You know, I mean, we just did it. We did it, and I want to do it again. You know, I can tell you now I'm training, you know, twice as hard because it's a little bit of a different animal. You know, there you have a little bit longer, you know, break in between points. But I think all of our guys are as excited about playing where we whether we play there or here. It's just a different challenge, right? You know, like you said, I mean, I enjoyed playing the MPPL. I really enjoyed that. You know, I wish we were doing both, but we're not. And you know, so at least we left there on top. You know, we leave on top. You know, we took our trophy. We're out. You know, you know, we're gonna have the rivalries we built up there. With us and Damage and the back and forth with Impact and the back and forth with Infamous, other really strong teams. You know, I think that's it's just gonna transfer over to here, and one thing I like about being here is with seven dudes, you know, if someone messes up, it doesn't showcase itself as much, you know, because, mm-hmm. Oh, man, I'll pick up your back. But here, someone messes up, you know, it's just, you know, a couple less bodies on the field. So it's a little more of a challenge, I think, in that aspect. You know, you're talking about having the number ones and the number twos and guys have more defined their roles. I mean, I think in any paintball you have that, but the less dudes you put on the field, the bigger those get exploited.
Yeah, your mistakes are magnified and your successes are glorified, you know? I mean, much more so, you know? Yeah. So, yeah, I'm excited. I feel that, you know me, man, I want to see the best guys play each other all the time and let the world know about it so that we can give you guys your credit when you do succeed. And you know, so I think it's going to be a pretty brutal year. And I also
for the
think
other teams.
Yeah, for the other teams. I know.
You seem to miss that's like twice. Third time.
My
like
bad, dude. I just read what's on the script.
I was going to say, you got your script in front of you.
I just read what's on
out.
The script. And I blow it most a lot of times. I'm sorry. I'm terrible.
I do the best I can.
I always have to turn.
Sorry,
the
I apologize.
My
I apologize.
Constantly.
No, you know, it's my fault. I won't say it again.
I still love you, though. But I also have been telling people this, too, is I think that, you know, you guys have really worked hard over the past couple seasons to build the best excessive that we've seen since its heyday, mm-hmm. when, you know, you guys, when we built the team to
right.
take Dynasty off their crown away.
Right.
And so it's really cool knowing how much hard work, because, man, it takes people that are out there and, you know, obviously play on teams and stuff, or if you're just listening to this and you're interested in the sport, it is such an effort of love and so much struggle to build a winning paintball team. Everybody
sure.
knows that. It's very rewarding because you get a lot of great life experiences and it teaches you how to work with other people. You're kind of traveling around and you're forced to you know, work with these other human beings and their strength, their weaknesses, your own strength and weaknesses. It really kind of highlights those. So it's kind of like you're sharpening your own blade as you go on. So it's just really cool to see you guys keep the fire going and, you know, to keep the team where it's been.
Thanks, buddy.
What do you think about some of these other teams that are stacking up for this year? You know, like,
it's tough, bro.
Yeah.
It's a tough, we talked about on the way down again. You know, if you look at teams like Houston Heat, who have salary, everyone on the team gets a salary, and those guys' job is to play paintball. So they don't have to go to, you know, McDonald's and do whatever they got to do. They don't have to do this or that. All they got to do is play paintball, and that's a big advantage. And if you go down the list, there's a, you know, there's probably four or five of those teams that have big, big payrolls, which is always, you know, it's always been like that. But I think now it's a little bit, the division is a little bit greater. Mm-hmm. And those guys are going to be challenging, you know. They're also coming in ranked high. So, you know, basically they've already got the advantage going to the first event. They'll have the better division. So
yeah, but
come
only
out
really
the
for
division.
The first event, because after the first event, we go to champions and challengers, and it's 10 and 10. You know, so it's like you are right to heading into the first event. The higher your rank, the better you're going to, you know, the lower ranked teams you're going to draw.
But in the second event, you'll also draw the lower ranked teams based on your performance on the first event.
Yeah, but you're not drawing the 15th, you know. You're drawing the 10th.
What you're saying is going to be there once you get – there should be less games that might, what we call,
there'll
give
me less weak teams
or better
chances. Well, that's the whole purpose of this new format, is that we, you know, there's obviously a division between the top best 8 to 10 teams in the world and then the rest of the guys that are still really good. They're still pro teams, but they don't either have the, you know, the bankroll to go and poach the all-stars off other teams, or, you know, to practice you know, a bunt or whatever it is.
Whatever
it's just,
it is,
it's more of a, it's just more of a struggle to play at the top game, and we're talking about the best paintball players on earth. So, you know, we really kind of needed to, you know, we can't have CP losing every single game in a year. And I just talked to Robbie Goldsmith today, actually, and I was like, how's the team looking? And, you know, they actually cut or had a lot of the dead weight on that team leave, and he gave me his list of starters, and I watched those dudes play every single point of every game they played last year. And I looked at his roster, I'm like, Robbie, that's, you got some talent on that team. You know, you can take those guys that you have, if they play up to their eventual potential, you know, you could do well with those players. You just have to keep in the grind and keep getting better. But they need a place to do that. You know, if they keep going and getting stomped out every single game for the entire season, it's going to be hard to keep guys. Yeah. It's going to be hard to get better. Whereas now we're going to have 10 champion teams and 10 challenger teams, and it's going to be a little bit more, you know, to the level of play of just kind of calling a spade, you know. It is what it is. There's, you know, there's still pro teams, but they're not as good as Damage or Heat or Dynasty or you guys, you know, that sort of thing. We'll see, though. I mean, that's why we're playing it out.
Yeah. It'd be interesting to see if any of the top teams ever get down in that division or not.
Well, I'm trying to think. I mean, I think it was a Dynasty. There was a couple top teams last year that stumbled that, you know, would have gotten knocked down.
In the first event or something.
Yeah. So, you know, and then you go back up, you go up and down, you know, so it's. You keep what you kill, man. I mean, if you're out there,
now you got to be top eight, right? Because if you're not top eight, then you'll go down for one or more, depending on
how well you
slot back, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So,
and I think it'll be easier to go down than it will be to come back up.
So, enlighten us a little more on that. I don't know as much about it as probably I should. I mean, I've done all the reading. I've been following the PB Access. Is it going to be the same field? Is it going to be a different field? Is it going to be the same refs? Is it going to be, you know, on PB Access? What's going on with all that? So you drop down. You disappear. You're going to go with a whole different set of refs. How's
like
that work?
Well, you know, it's good. Another set of refs in a different field, because we just don't logistically have a way to have 20 teams. We'd have to have like a 5-day event, and we're just not at the point where we can do that. You know, to have 20 teams. You got how much money you got, bro? You know, I mean, we're doing everything we possibly can at the level that we can. You know, at this point, and it's a growth move. But the championship games for the challengers division are definitely going to be webcast as well.
Oh,
and,
that's good.
No, for sure. And another thing is that, you know, with Paintball Access, is that we're going to work just as hard to tell the stories and talk about what's happening in the challengers division as in the champions division, you know, in between the events and doing other sorts of content, because there's fascinating stories that are going on there.
Right.
And those guys are going to, you know, it's again, keep what you kill. If you finish in the top eight, you stay in the champions division. If you finish in the bottom two, you go down the challengers, and the top two teams move up, and it happens every single event.
And in my honest opinion, obviously, you know, I don't like you very much.
I know.
I mean, that's
told me many, many times over the years.
I've told your mom, I've told your dad, I've told your whole family.
They like you, but they understand your dislike of me. It's understandable.
What you guys are doing is so important because there's no one else doing it. You know, there's not. It used to be easy. You know, you play your first paintball tournament. You show up in a magazine. You show your buddies. Like I did karate forever before I did. I was in two paintball tournaments, and all of a sudden I was in a magazine. Told my instructor, I probably won't be doing karate much longer because I just shot some dude and they put me in a magazine. So I'm cool now.
It was really fun. Too.
Yeah. And so no, you know, there's not 30, 15, 10, 5. There's not even two or three good magazines out there. Mm-hmm. So there's no way for these guys that are working so hard to kind of get that little bit of recognition. You know, the guys who aren't actually getting paid, they have no way to get that recognition. So what you guys are doing with the webcast and also with the website is so important to get those guys that recognition. Like, hey, we understand that you're busting your ass every day. You're working out hard. You're, you know, you work all week just so you can afford to play paintball on the weekend, blah, blah, blah. And you're doing that stuff and you're giving those guys the credit for that. And I really, again, our personal relationship aside.
Yeah, putting
my disdain.
Yeah, your disdain for me aside.
I really give you guys credit for that because I think it's really, really important. And I think you guys are the only ones doing it, you know, on a real basis.
Well, it's important because sport is fascinating. It really is interesting. And I think that, you know, it's like I'm born and raised San Diego. And we have, you know, I know really interesting guys that live in this town and we've known for a long period of time and have know the Olivers and they know the, you know, Oliver Langs and the Ryan Greenspans and all the other dudes that live down here who live this very interesting pro paintball life and get to go to all these cool places and have these really intense experiences and they hear these stories from these guys. So these guys do jujitsu or
they're interested in the stories already.
Yeah, or they're surfers or snowboarders or they work at they run clubs or own shops or whatever it is.
Entrepreneurs.
They're really interesting cool people who are fascinated in all the myriad of fascinating things that life can bring you. And they love paintball. They play paintball, they love the guys, they want to hear the stories all the time. And I'm like, okay, well,
Kirk Vaisola. Perfect example. Mm-hmm. You know, he's never played paintball in his life, would never. Super intelligent guy, engineer, and he follows everything that all of us do. He knows everybody forever. Like, he'll come to me like, hey, did you hear about this? I'm like, I have no idea what you're talking about, Kirk. Yeah. But he's on top of that stuff, you know, because he knows how interesting it is, you know?
Yeah, the ins and the outs of it, not only the competition itself, which is fascinating, but, you know, one of the reasons that we brought statistics in is that if you don't know anything about paintball, I think that's the mistakes that we made. You know, because people are like, when's paintball? Like, I was having this conversation with Scott Kemp's buddies, who's known Scott forever, and he knows paintball. He's been to a bunch of tournaments, and he's like, I just don't understand how, like, paintball's just not on TV more regularly and this and that, and how come... And then I remember somebody asked me in an interview one time, like, how come paintball hasn't got to the big time yet in the mainstream? And I'm like, well, first of all, I've personally worked on, like, at this point, maybe 10 TV shows.
Right.
You know, so, and those
we've
are just
been there.
Those are just the ones that I did, you know.
Good,
so
good, like, job messing them up.
Yeah, sorry, I blew it. I blew our chances. But you know, I've worked on those shows, so we've been on TV. And then we've had like five or six video games at this point, maybe even more than that. And there's, you know, it's been around for a long time. So, I mean, one of the catalysts of the Paintball Access project was we had learned, but you had two things happen at once. One, a lot of the creative people and the guys behind the industry, we realized, like, okay, we've learned from a lot of mistakes that were made, you know. And I'd be sitting on these productions and looking around and thinking, like, okay, what does that guy do? What does this guy do? Why are there 25 people running? Why is there just someone here to give me coffee? That's stupid. You know, like, this is a giant waste of money. And then we also figured out how to make a show by seeing how that's done. And then also, technologically speaking, there's been an increase of quality for less money. You know, there's Moore's Law. Moore's Law is basically that every 18 months, the amount of computing power that you can get for $1,000 doubles every 18 months. And that's it's called Moore's Law because it's literally been doing this on a scale exponentially increasing for, I can't remember how many years now, but I think it's been something like 45 years. 35 years, something like that. It's been going on. So every 18 months, the amount of computer that you can get for $1,000 doubles. Now, you take that to also the explosion of just technology in general. So with great computing power and with our understanding of how to create technical objects, you also have the fact that you can... So, you know, so to make a long story short, essentially, you know, we can make a television show quality product for actually less than a tenth of what it used to cost just 10 years ago. You know, so we kind of learn from all those mistakes that we've done, and then we have this. And so, but to me, so that with the statistics is like, I look at paintball, and I'm like, okay, fascinating thing. I know paintball very well. I played it for a long time. But before, the producers of these shows that weren't paintball people, and the people, the money guys, like the Dick Clarks, and they would come and they'd go to their VIP tower and they'd watch a couple games, and they saw, you know, thousands of people walking around, and, you know, they're just like, oh, this is going to be a gold mine. People love this sport, you know, like, but they thought the spectacle alone would be enough to keep people around and to get people to really watch paintball. But that's not true. The spectacle will bring people in, but you'll watch for a little bit, but that's not how the human brain works. You know, if you don't understand something, you can't have knowledge of it. You can't relate to it. And if you don't actually get into, you know, it's like, have you guys heard of that? I think, Rich, we've talked about this before, but you guys ever heard of Simon Sinek, or, you know, the TED Talks? You heard of the TED Talks? You heard of TED Talks, Thomas? The TED Talks is this symposium that's been going on for over 10 years now. There's over 1,000 TED Talks that have been given. It's an acronym for technology, entertainment, and design. And it's such an amazingly profound and gift to humanity is what the TED Talks are, because what it does is they take the best and the brightest in the world, smartest people on planet Earth, most accomplished people on planet Earth, and they let them come and give talks about everything you can imagine. I mean, they had David Blaine up there talking about how he held his breath for 19 minutes. They have Bill Gates up there talking about how to, you know, solve some of the most fundamental issues facing the third world by trying to cure diseases that we cured 25, 30 years ago here. You know, you're saving millions and millions of lives. You know, we have all these. So these people come and they give these talks, and then they record these talks, and their slogan is ideas worth sharing, and they give them away for free. And one of my favorite talks is by a guy named, I'm sorry, I'm boring the hell out of Rich over here, he's reading magazines.
No, I'm very interested.
So, but anyway, so essentially is that so Simon Sinek gave this talk, and it's so fascinating. And the talk is, you can YouTube this. Go to YouTube and watch this. It will totally, if you work on anything creatively or you want to understand how people work the way they do, why they care about the things that they do, this explains it. And he calls it Focus on the Why. Or Why Great Leaders Inspire. That's the name of this talk. And what he does is he has what's called the golden circle. And the golden circle, imagine, ascending circles outward. So the inner circle is why. The next is how, and then you have what. Okay, so what, how, and why. Which also happens to correspond with the way the brain literally, biologically, is created and how it functions. And so his examples that he uses are Apple, the company Apple, Martin Luther King, and the Wright brothers. And he talks about how he's like, why is it that Apple is so much, why are they the most successful company on earth right now? They're sitting on like $5 billion, I mean, exaggeration, like $5 billion in cash.
It's
or something
actually
like
a gajillion.
That. Yeah, gajillion dollars in cash. And why are they so successful? They have the same access to talent that everybody does, especially before they were, king shit. You know, they had.
Because they were bad for a while.
Yeah, so they have the same access to technology. They have the same access to, manufacturing facilities. They have the same access to talent. Why are they the quintessential technology company as of right now? Why is it that Martin Luther King Jr. was the catalyst or one of the main catalysts for the civil rights movement? There were many other people that were working on the same thing, but why does he have a statue in Washington, D.C.? Why did 500,000 people show up in a time before email, before text messages, before cell phones, at the same place at the same time?
How crazy is that?
In Washington, D.C. in the summer, where it's 5,000 degrees, if anyone spent any time on the East Coast in the summer, why is it the Wright brothers were the first people to figure out powered man flight? At the same time that the Wright brothers were figuring out how to do it, there was another guy who was funded by the government. He was followed around by the New York Times everywhere that he went. He had all the money and talent and intelligent people at his disposal to try to figure out powered human man flight. And he couldn't do it. And the Wright brothers did it with the proceeds from their bike shop. They were in Ohio. They had to take all their stuff in the early 1900s all the way to North Carolina. They had to bring 6 sets of parts every time that they went over there, because that's how many times they crashed. Why did they figure it out? Those people and those companies that are more successful than other companies is they either consciously or unconsciously understand why people give a shit about things. And it starts, and what Simon Sinek is like, this is not based on psychology, this is based on biology. Because the way your brain works, the part of your brain that's responsible for making decisions, it's your limbic brain. It's one of the oldest parts of your brain. It's not responsible for language. It doesn't have anything to do with facts and figures. A lot of people talk about, oh, I make gut decision or this or that. That basically comes from the limbic part of your brain. Why will you go to the bar? Maybe not you guys, but maybe you back in the day. But why would you go to the bar and blow $200 in a night to have a good time with your friends, but you'll sit there for 3 months agonizing over whether you should upgrade your phone, something you use every single day, to the next plan that's the same price. Well, that's because you went to the bar and you made that decision to have a good time with your buddies and make sure that we're all going to enjoy this evening. You made that decision with your limbic brain. The neocortex is the newer, more human part of your brain, and that's responsible for facts and figures. That's where all of the computation happens in your brain, but it's not responsible for any decisions. And that's why that happens. And so companies and individuals that are able to focus on the why, either consciously or subconsciously, they're the people that actually change the world. Because they are actually, when I'm talking to Thomas Taylor, Rich Telford, who am I really talking to? Am I talking to the part of your brain that's actually making decisions? When if I'm not actually talking to that part of your brain, I can't motivate your behavior. And that's the biggest thing. So when you bring this to paintball, if we don't have these other elements that we bring out there, it can't be just us like, oh, look at paintball. It's crazy. People run around shooting each other. That ain't it, man. That is not going to get us to where we need to be. We have to give people, it's like no one wakes up in the morning and gives a shit about anything. No one cares what Excessive's going to do at the next event until you make them care. And right. How do you make them care? Well, tell them a story. Tell them a story. Give them information that they can digest and get excited about it. And paintball, god damn it, it's a really exciting sport. The people that play it are charismatic and fascinating. They go to interesting places. Well, not always, but we have before, and we're still in the future, and a lot of people do that. And that's why these really super uber cool kid, the cool kids of San Diego, when Oliver shows up and tells them some crazy story about going to Europe or something, they love it and they eat it up. Yeah. So we need to make more of that live in the world if we want more people to care about paintball.
Well, and I think also when we were starting off, we thought just by putting paintball on TV, because we were so fascinated by it, everybody else would be fascinated by it. But that's just not the way any national sports works. Mm-hmm. I mean, like UFCs, right? You've got two fights in an hour, right? So you've got 40 minutes of content maybe for 20 minutes of fighting. And that content makes you root for this guy, or it makes you root for this guy, but it gets you invested. The content of why this guy did this or how he got there, and that makes you want the good guy or the bad guy to win, basically. And we didn't have that content in the old days, and mm-hmm. the stats is just another one of those section of content where you're like, okay, I can I can relate to this guy, I can follow this guy, I can do that.
Yeah, well, it's basically like when we were starting this project, the thing I kept saying all over and over, because I sat there and I thought about this for years, bro, honestly, like all those experiences. And kind of broke the way I thought about it is, it's like this: a sport's popularity is only a function of the people covering it, their ability to bring to light the five following factors: heroes, history, ongoing narrative, spectacle, and statistics. Those are like the five fingers of the sports marketing fist. And I mean, look at like the UFC was built off of the Ultimate Fighter. Dana White has said publicly many times that the only way that they were able to be successful is that they were able to elicit an emotional response from the public because of the war that Stephen Bonner and Forrest Griffin went through, and also the struggles of those guys in that crazy house. That still is one of my favorite shows to watch. They're doing a great job this season. I watch every week. How crazy was that Riot Hall knockout? Did you see that one?
Dude, I felt bad.
I thought that guy was going to die.
I told Lou the same thing. I was like, there's knockouts where you're just like, as soon as that guy hits the ground, he's like, okay.
Yeah.
And then there's knockouts where you go sit down and you're like, man, I hope that dude gets up. And that was definitely one of those where you were just like, oh, that dude's not getting up.
Yeah.
Because you never see a clean head kick, right? No, it's always glancing off a hand or glancing off a shoulder. And even when you do see it, usually it's like a roundhouse, so he's hitting with the instep. Mm-hmm. But he clocked him with his heel in the jaw.
Yeah.
That's as out as you can get.
Did you see that? There's a clip on, I just saw this the other day, but it's a clip of Rogan back when he's doing taekwondo.
Taekwondo, yeah.
Yeah, did you see that spinning back kick? Uh-huh. He Uriah Hauls somebody in like a taekwondo tournament.
Awesome.
And I mean, he literally, like, that kid bounced when he hit the ground. Like, he looked dead. I was like, that was Joe Rogan tight. That was tight. Hell yeah. That shit's important to me, man, because I lived that life for a long time, and it's like, and it's important to me that first of all, it's just an interesting thing. It's kind of like fighting, and the same, like Dana White always says, he's like, it's in our DNA. This shit is in our DNA. It's in our DNA to want to watch that conflict.
Yep.
Two guys fighting each other transcends all language barriers. You could say the same thing about paintball. I know there's that whole illusion of guns, but these aren't real guns. It's a game. It's a sport.
Yep.
But it is a conflict. It's the stage is set for a certain conflict.
It's a fight.
Yeah, it's a fight.
You're out there.
It's like,
instead of fighting 1-on-1, you're fighting 5-on-5 or 7-on-7, but you're out there fighting.
Yeah, and it was like that when I did the copy for the back of the heroes for a day, and I was sitting there for a couple days like, man, like, okay, what the hell? How am I going to sum up Excessive's, you know, long-ass journey to the top in, on the back of a DVD cover? You know, I'm like, how do I say that? You know, and then I was sitting there thinking about it, and I was like, I can't remember what I was talking to, and then I was explaining paintball or something. I can't remember what the hell it was, and I was like, and this isn't a game. This is a fight. And I was like, that's it right there. You know, this isn't a game. It's a fight. You know, there you are in the corner, knuckles clenched white. You know, and it was like, that's what it's like when that's why we used to slap the shit out of each other because we were getting ready to go to war with your buddies. Yep. You know what I'm saying? And that's, I think, still the draw for me, at least.
100%. Yeah,
you know,
100%.
And I know, so no, you know, so that's what I want to bring to light. We have to bring to light that war. We have to, so heroes, history, ongoing narrative, spectacle, statistics. You have to bring to light all those different things because those facets of that, when shown properly, will live in other people's minds. And then, and anybody, that's the cool thing about paintball too. Fighting is a little bit different because you, first of all, you're going to get punched in the face. And, you know, and it's kind of a rather treacherous thing. Now, you can go train and that sort of stuff, but I was just listening to the Rogan podcast the other day, and he had Dana White on, and they were talking about sparring and gym wars and how guys don't really do that anymore because it's there's, like, only a finite amount of punches you can take.
Yeah,
to
you can
face.
Only take so many blows to the head.
Yeah.
But man, you can only take so many paintballs to the head, too, man. Like, I don't know about
Wait,
you,
where
but
are
I
we?
Got,
where
I
are
got plenty, I got plenty of soft spots on my head that just don't get hard anymore. Like, they used to, yeah. You used to get, I used to get domed, and it'd be soft for a couple of days, and then, you know, it'd get hard again. Now I just got this big mushy patch on the top of my head. I'm sorry, what were we talking about? Where am I?
I don't even know.
Well,
where
stop
where
diving
are we?
Head first into the snake.
Yeah, no, you can't take things away from me that I love.
Yeah, and, but it's so. But the thing is, it's so anybody can play paintball, man. Yeah.
You know, I agree, 100%.
Giant, small, yeah. Big, old, doesn't matter. You know, like, everybody can play paintball, and it still appeals to that very primal, that limbic brain yep. part of your mind that slightly, it is in our DNA to crave that conflict. I mean, look at humanity, man. We are a species that, you know, we're more actually like ants. Like, I was listening to this thing on NPR, and this guy was breaking down, like, NPR is fascinating. And there's this app you can get called the NPR Addict, which just has, and it's kind of like the TED Talks, except it's public anyway, but it so this guy was talking about ants, and he was breaking down how ants are actually more human beings and ants have more similarities than most other primates that we're directly related to. I mean, they'll be there, and this is a crazy story. There's this and it's interesting because it's like it's not about Thomas, but it's is there's been a battle going on for the past 100 years in California where one species of ant has been whooping the shit out of this other species of ant. And there was this ant that was in, they think it came over on a supply ship in San Francisco, so this ant landed in San Francisco, and it's been steadily going south mostly.
Just whooping ass.
Whooping ass.
Oh, that's the Modesto ant. No, I've heard of that.
Yeah. And so and when ants fight, they what they do is like the two, like an army, like a World War One army, they'll literally run it, but except without guns. They run at each other, and there'll be a skirmish line formed, and the ants will grapple with each other, and the warrior ants will literally lock up with the other warrior ants from the other tribe of ants, and they will literally pull each other to apart, death, yeah. Limb to limb, and but the ants will fight until they're just a torso, just quivering on the ground. And so that skirmish line has been happening for 100 years. And the front line of that battle is actually still going on. You can find this war. I want to drive out because it's in San Diego. The front line of this battle is in San Diego. It's like East County. And you can still walk up and see this fight happening where these two ant colonies are just.
And they've been fighting since they were in San Francisco?
Well, they've been whooping everyone's ass. They beat everyone's ass all the way down to San Diego.
So there's no the ants that are down here.
Where do they come from? They're trying to head home?
No, they've killed most of the other species. I mean, they're still. But they don't war with every single ant species. But this, I think. I'm not a scientist, but.
Now, are some of these ants brown?
Because
it might be a racial thing.
I don't know. Well, it's absolutely. I mean, this is one tribe ant, but it's so yeah, human beings, and then also in ants, like it's the same as, you know, we have cops and we have soldiers and we have
the same thing.
You know, they have the same thing. I mean, this guy was telling a story. He's like, you can walk up to an ant colony, and they put the old soldiers, the guys that have been damaged in war but survived. They don't fight the big battles. They will if they have to, but they fight. What they do is they guard the supply trains. And he's like, you can walk up, a big human being will walk up on an ant, and this little warrior ant with one arm missing will literally be like grimacing at you and like
Let's
trying to
this.
Get at you with
Let's
like
do
just
this,
one
brother.
Third arm, you know, like just ready to die for the supply. Yeah. You know, because they can't cut off that supply of food that's going to the hive.
Right.
And that's that ant's job. That's a sole job in life. That's all it does.
That's the guy we want to pick up on Excessive. If you're out there and you're listening to that podcast, you're 15, 16.
You got one arm.
And you
arm,
think you got that mentality. Not one arm, but if you have that fight mentality, give us a call. Come on, try out, because that's what we're looking for.
Yeah. So yeah, it is. It's important, you know, and it's fascinating, and I think that the more people that know about it and how intricate the game is, and the people that play it, the more that know about that, the more people we can get to play, because that's the ultimate goal, you know, is to get people out to play the game.
Yeah. I just think you guys are doing a good job, and I think it's great that it's out there, and kind of expanding it and going forward is exciting.
Who do you think did the best job in the offseason out of all the teams as far as assembling a squad? You know, who won the offseason battle, you think?
Man, there's a lot of teams making a lot of moves, you know. I mean, let's see. Who's done big moves? X-Factor, Impact. They made some good pickups. Ironmen have, flip-flopped 50% of the team, you know. And on one side of that, they picked up really good players. On the other side of that, they already had a pretty solid team, I thought, like a top-four team. So that'll be interesting to see how that plays out. You know, it could be a really good move for them. You know, I'm always kind of like a fan of, you know, if you got something that's working, you know, don't completely redo it. But, you know, maybe they decide fourth, they don't want to be a top four team. They want to be a number one team. And if that's how they're going for it, I mean, I think they picked up some really talented players. So, but I don't know. I mean, the number one, like, those are the three teams that stick out in my mind that I've seen
like
make
big
moves.
Yeah. I've always been a Rainey fan, and I've always been a Mouse fan, you know, on the field. And I think that they're going to help. I think those two guys will help damage. Demolish.
Well, Mouse is
on Ironman.
Oh, so Rainey's on Damage.
Sorry. Yeah.
Well, I mean, who knows who Mouse is playing for right now?
Right. Yeah. But we actually just picked Mouse.
So Damage only picked up Rainey, as far as I know. Okay.
But they got SK. Well, they lost Paul Richards as their coach, and they picked SK up.
Yeah.
You know, honestly, I'm gonna say. So you know,
and they got Brian Smith.
It's hard to say who made the biggest moves. You know, I think, to me, maybe the most surprising was probably X Factor. I mean, I'm not saying, I don't know who's going to make, like, whose team's going to show up the best, but, you know, going out and picking up two players, right? You know, I picked up that kid from Texas Storm. I can't think of his name right now. I'm sorry, bud. You know,
Dimitri.
Dimitri?
Yeah.
Yeah. I got to play against him last year. I like his attitude. I like his play. He's aggressive. I got to watch him. I watched him in seven man. He's a really good player. So I think their pickup on him, you know, that's good, you know, and then Scott going over there.
Kemper.
And then now I just heard they picked up a Zach Wake on top of that.
Yeah.
And then pulling in, Paul Richards. You know, I would say out of all the moves, like that right there was probably the most surprising to me, at least. You know, like, you know, because there's always been that kind of that, you know, that squad. You know, like, hey, X Factor, this is our squad. Maybe we bring a guy in, maybe bring a guy out. And so I'm really excited to see what that does that for that organization.
Well,
you know?
And what's kind of cool is that the moves X Factor made weren't big budget moves. You know, they got really solid goods, but they didn't have to spend a ton of money to get them. I don't think. I don't think. But guys like Bart from Impact, I mean, those guys and those guys are dropping a lot of cash.
Yeah,
you know. So, what my point is that for X Factor, if they can do well, and I'm assuming they didn't spend as much as Bart or some of the other teams. If they can do better than they did last season with their pickups and with spending less money, then obviously they're on to something, right?
Yeah.
Because it's tough, you know, if you can't compete with the big boys financially, but you can still compete with them, then you're doing something right.
Well, the thing is like, okay, you know, so Damage, they got Justin Rabakov on the Snake side, in addition to their other great players that they have, you know, Justin Cornell, and et cetera. But Impact,
Impact.
Yeah, I'm sorry. What did I say? Damage. Yeah. My bad. Mm-hmm. That's so crazy.
It used to be like you'd play with the team, right?
Yeah.
And then you'd either quit playing or you'd stay with that team. Now, like, dudes like Mouse play four or five different teams before tournaments. Like, between one tournament, he'll play on five different teams. I don't get it.
Well, I grew up in the same time that you did, because, like, I remember somebody was like, yeah, but you went to Accenture.
Well, we are
like,
the same age.
Bro,
so.
That was like, you know.
We went to Accenture.
Yeah.
We created Accenture. Yeah. It's not like we, you know, left
we didn't
to jump
ship.
But I also understand, I had this talk with Ryan Greenspan, because he was saying the same thing you guys are saying about that issue. But, you know, let's say you're Greg Sewers, and you know, Greg's also played for every team in the league practically. Yep. He played for you guys at one point. Everybody likes Greg. But, you know, that's an opportunity for him. You know, I mean, he's now can just focus on playing paintball, and he's not driving a Ferrari around, but at least he's getting enough that he can get by where he wasn't getting that on Infamous. You know,
right.
So
yeah,
it's
yeah.
like, and then.
And you can't fault these guys.
Yeah.
Like,
so.
Like guys who leave and they just leave because they don't like the team or whatever, well, then they should have left anyway because they didn't like the team.
Yeah.
And guys who leave because they're getting paid, you know, enough money to significantly change their life, mm-hmm. you really can't fault those guys either. But the guys who
leave for an extra two guns.
Or, you know, they're basically leaving for the same deal, and then they leave for the same deal again, and they go back here for the same deal. Like for me, like I don't want to do like that on the team. Because for me, if you go out and do something stupid, I'm your brother and I'm going to bail you out. I'm going to do whatever I got to do. But if you're not, if you're not trustworthy or you're not honest or you're not, if you don't feel like you know, a part of the team, I don't want you on that team.
1,000,000%. And also, what I was going to say, though, is like, okay, well, you know, there's going to be a point. I mean, obviously, Thomas, you're one of the top tier players and have been for a long time. But, you know, not a lot of people know who Jaime is. Jaime's really good. On Jaime's good day, you know, he could shoot J-Rab no problem and win that game. And, you know,
on his bad day.
Yeah. So that, so the thing is like, so it's the level of competitiveness is high. The teams and players are really close, closer, yeah, I think most people close. Realize, you know, so that's one of those things that also needs to bear mention. As much as I don't want to knock Greg Sewers, the guy that's not getting nearly what he's getting, who's getting a couple guns a year or whatever, you know,
is most 90% of those is, of the same.
Yeah, we're talking, yeah. It's like the 95-5 rule. Yeah. I say this all the time when I'm working on a creative project. I bring this up all the time, where we'll be like at the end of a video project, end of whatever, name it, article, video thing, whatever we're working on, and somebody will be like, oh, it's just so close, and but we're on a time crunch, and I'm like, look, man, it's the 95-5 rule. And they'll be like, you know, if the person doesn't know, if they know it is, they'll be like, you're right, it's done, boom, and that's out. Now, there's only like 5% of the people that out there, they're going to know the difference between 95% and 100.
Yeah.
And if you're on a time crunch, it's like, well, dude, you know, so it's the
good
same
enough.
Thing with the time. It's good enough. So it's kind of the same thing with the players that play pro paintball. I mean, dude, I'm telling you, that lineup that CEP's got, there's some talented ass kids on that team, and yeah. They will shoot some of the superstars, quote unquote, of the sport. You know, a decent amount of times on their good days. You know, I mean, they obviously need some seasoning, but they got talent, you know? Yeah. So it's one of those things that's why it's so exciting right now, because with the new structure, with the way everything's shaking down, there's a ton of guys with a lot to prove and a ton of teams that are, like, really hungry right now, which what that means is a hell of an entertaining year for the fans.
Well, and we're kind of going through, like, a resurgence, right? Like,
yeah.
Like, paintball's kind of coming back.
Yeah.
We've been knocked down. We've been kicked around.
Your dog thinks so, too.
Yeah, yeah. Whenever I talk, she gets fired. She's a big supporter.
She saw you getting all
you
animated.
But I feel like as an industry, we're kind of getting back on our feet. But also as a sport, we're kind of getting back on our feet. And it's exciting to see.
Yeah.
Like, when we were doing Hell Week and stuff, no one else was doing anything. And now the Houston Heat guys and all these other guys are posting up their videos of the training off season and stuff. And as a paintball fan, that excites me, man. Mm-hmm. As a paintball player, it drives me to work harder and to step it up. But so, you know, I'm super happy that we're kind of getting back up to where we need to be. And I'm really excited where the next, like, 10 years are going to take us.
Yeah, I'm really excited, too. So, yeah, I'm stoked.
Well, the question is just rolling through my mind right now. You know, you look at a team like you were saying, CEP, you know, and they have all that talent. You know, one thing that always gets me is, like, you would have a team with all this young talent, but then you get a team with okay talent, but two or three guys, you know, say like Rich and myself, or you pick any team that has a couple guys that have been around a lot, and those teams do better. You know, it's a, you know, sometimes it wonders me, like, how do you get all that talent? Like, you know, you need some of that. What I'm getting at is kind of you need some of that old thing, but, you know, you got to watch it all last year. What do you think separates some of that, you know? Maybe you got a Greg Sewers now 6 or 7 years into, you know, a really solid career, but then you got another kid that's been around 2 years, and it's just as good, but the team that Greg's on is winning, and his team's not. You know?
Well, I think that it goes down to the fact that it reminds me, and I said the same thing to Robbie Goldsmith today, actually, when we were talking about his team, is I said, have you ever seen any Ray Lewis's, this is my, I was asking him, I was like, have you ever seen any Ray Lewis's inspirational speeches before? And he's like, no, I've never seen any of those before. I was like, dude, do yourself a favor, do your team a favor, watch these. And there's one particular one that stands out to me, and that's what I thought about, because I was going to say what Ray had said, so I'm just going to give him credit. But basically what he kind of said was, he was like, you know, he go. So there's this amazing little, it's like 2.5 minutes long. But Ray Lewis goes into the Stanford basketball, the college, you know, Stanford College basketball locker room before they go out to play a big game. And, you know, they're like stoked. It's Ray Lewis. He walks in. Everyone's going crazy. They're like, oh, they all chant. And he gets in the center and he's like, oh, thank you for having me here. And he's like, and then he starts breaking it down. And in like 2.5 minutes, it gave me chills when I watched this because it's so true. So, yeah, you're right. Why did the U.S. hockey team beat Russia. A bunch of college kids, beat the greatest professional team who that's all they did for years, crushing everyone in the world? How did those college kids summon the spirit to beat a team that on paper is not only better than them, they're ridiculously better than them. It's not even a question. There's not one player on that hockey team that was even could hold a candle to any of the guys on that Russian team, but they still won. They won the gold. How did they do that? Well, so what Ray says to these guys, he's like, you know what? You guys are about to go out there, and these guys, they think they know who they're going to play. They've seen the tape. He's like, but inside you lives something that film can't show. You know, you have to be able to go out there, and he didn't say the word transcend, but that's basically what he's saying. You need to transcend and move to that next level in your own game. And he's like, you know, and that thing that film don't show, he's like, that resides within you. And kind of summoning that spirit, that's between you and you. It has nothing to do with anybody else, and it's found through effort. You know, and so that's the thing, is the guys that go out there who are really hungry, and they may not be as talented, you know, as the other guy that they're lining up against. You know, maybe it's CP's seventh dude, not even one of their starting five, and he gets a point in, and he's got to go play against, Konstantin Fedorov, you know, probably the best player in the game right now, arguably the best player in the game. You know, his team won 3 tournaments last year, a lot of on the back of his heroics on the field. You know, obviously a great team, we go on about that. But that being said, if he, you know, he has the ability, it's like we always said, man, it's 5 guys with guns. You go out there and you summon that spirit, and it's found through how much time did you, we used to talk about this when training, and I remember I was definitely, you know, I didn't try as hard as I could have in the beginning part of my career because I was able to get by on talent alone. Well, yeah, that too, and my devastatingly good mustache. But you know, it was one of those things where it was like after a amount of time, you know, I made the conscious decision to train more because it just was the most logical and intelligent thing to do. And also, that's a non-pussy thing to do. You know,
when you do it for yourself, that's when it's really important. When you look at yourself and you say, hey, you know what, man? I can do more. I can be better. And you take that on yourself, you know, that's a big step.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's, you know, so yeah, it, you know, every day that, and that's another thing that Ray Lewis said, he's like, every day is a new day. Every moment is a new moment, and you have the ability to go out there and perform at a level you've never performed out there or never performed at before, and that is up to you. You know, and there's that ain't had nothing to do with nobody else. Yeah,
just to speak on that just for a moment, the old Ironman team, the team that I kind of came up, you know, emulating and really wanting to be a part of, Shane and all those guys, other than Shane and maybe one or two guys, those guys were terrible paintball players. You know, within 6 months, I would shoot 2 or 3 guys those games a game.
And now you came up in that camp pretty much.
But I've never met a group of more competitive people in my life. I mean, obviously Dave was on the team, and Dave was a good player, competitive. Shane was a good player, competitive. A couple other guys, Jamie were, you know,
Marty.
Like,
yeah,
Marty was obviously a great player. So 3 of those guys are technically pretty strong players. But those guys had more will to win than any 5 teams they played, mm-hmm. and it didn't matter what they had to do. You know, if it's like Ronnie Lott, you know, he didn't question cutting that finger off.
Yeah.
Never questioned it.
Well, then let me rub on the 49ers.
And, for me, when Thomas says, hey, why is it the teams that with a couple of these old veterans, why do they do better than all these talented kids? Like, I've got Ben Buitai on my team. Kid's fast. Kid's smart. Kid's athletic. He's got all the necessity, everything he's got to be the best player in the world. He just hasn't yet become confident in himself, hasn't yet got, like, for me, I'm not a very good paintball player, but
I feel like
I feel like every time I go out there and play, no matter who I'm going to play, I'm going to win, no matter what. Mm-hmm. And when I don't, I am shocked.
Yeah.
I'm not like, oh, well, you know, no big deal, I had a bad day. I'm like, what the hell?
Yeah.
Is the world flat now? Is something out of whack? I don't get it. And I think that's what some of the older veterans have and bring to the table is that competitiveness and that will to win, and that's what we have to instill in the up and coming kids that have all the, you know, agility and speed and skills, but they don't have that confidence, they don't have that just determination, I guess, or drive, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, people have been writing about that for years, that inner will to overcome and persevere no matter what happens. That's why I'm really glad you guys were able to sit here with me, is because you two have that. And that's the only reason that Excessive is still around and doing really well, which is why I'm really stoked to see what's going to happen in the future with the team, because, you know, that's why I liked playing with you guys for so many years. You know, I retired on your team and I didn't really ever want to play with anybody else. I felt like I could still play the game at a high level when I retired, but it was like, you know, I felt like I had other things I needed to do. I accomplished everything I wanted to accomplish, and there wasn't really, even though I had other teams I could go to, and that's why I never left, because I was like, no, these are the guys I'm in the fight with, and that's it, you know? I mean, that's how I look at the world, you know? So it's
family.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. And yeah, for those kids out there listening, and you know, maybe you're listening to this in your parents' basement and you're 14 years old, but you inside, you feel you're the next Oliver Lang.
And you got that fire.
And you got that fire. Well, I want those kids. Give me those kids. Sure. Like, look at Jason Edwards. Perfect example. Jason Edwards.
When he came out and tried out for it?
Yeah, Jason Edwards.
Sick as a dog.
Yeah, and people have heard me say this on webcasts before, and I'm stroking his ego, but God damn it, because it deserves to be stroked, man. I mean, Jesus Christ.
Player.
Like, how, I mean, he was, you know, our People's Choice MVP. Everyone voted for him to be the MVP, and deservedly so. And a lot of people were like, oh, Fedorov should have got that because he was team. And I was like, you know what? Fedorov absolutely deserves to win the MVP for this year, and he gets my vote because his team did win. However, I think the public understands how much Jason's given back by the way he treats people and does clinics.
Dude. And his dad, he's a good dude. His dad's a good dude. But he's such a good player.
He formed his body and his mind. I mean, it took him years to get to the top. And by the time, but it was his indomitable will to be great, to be one of the best that's got to him to be, you know, literally one of the best paintball players on earth. He was fat as shit when he was younger. I mean, his nickname is Fat Kid.
Fat Kid, yeah.
You know, and now he's a jack monster. Yep. And he did that through force of will. And that's what's possible.
Well, I said, you know, like, you know, when he came out and tried out for us, and we had just a consumed Avalanche, and we had like 25 players on the team, you know, we were trying to figure out what to do. I remember him coming out, you know, and wanting to, you know, say, hey, you know, he flew from coast to coast. We were practicing down south.
In the snow.
He was sick as a dog. He still practiced, you know, back then. It was like, you know, obviously we had 25 dudes, and he was sick, so he didn't show his full potential. But you could see the heart
and the
drive in him then.
Yeah.
You know, and to watch him go from there to, you know, not now, like you said, the MVP. I mean, that's just awesome. And then look what he's done with his brother. You know, him having the drive and his brother picking it up. I mean, that's just such a great story. And that having that inner fight to will. You know, I mean, he's done some great things. You know, I'm proud of him for sure.
And that's what's possible. And that's why it's awesome. Yep. You know, that's why the sport's awesome.
Well, and what's awesome going back is the ability to tell that story now. You know, and there's been so, like Marty Bush. Like, that dude is a character, you know? Like,
super awesome.
Yeah, character. Shane Pastana, man.
Yeah.
Like, those guys.
Such a motivator.
They were unbelievable. I put those guys on Dave Youngblood, such high pedestals, you know, because they were just gods among men in the old days.
10 feet tall.
Other than 15 or 20 of us that were around, nobody knew. And it was like, you know, they could only inspire, you know, a couple people that were around them. But now guys like Jason Edwards that are taking those guys' position, they can inspire so many more because you guys can tell that story and spread that story.
Hell yeah.
Knock it off.
See, dog just co-signs on everything that you say, you know.
Well, you know what, it's cool now that you're that we have this, and it's great, you know, on many levels, you know, I mean. You know, if this wasn't, you know, done, you know, the only thing you'll hear about Excessive may have just been Heroes for a Day. You know, yeah, we were on this TV show and that TV show, but you ask a lot of people that are playing now, you know, hey, did you see me on Fox Sports? You know, I had my own 30-minute episode. I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, oh, man, I thought that was pretty cool, you know?
You're yeah,
like,
well, that's because TV's dying, man.
You know?
I mean, not a lot of people, even that's another thing, too, is like television is not the Holy Grail anymore.
What?
I mean, you know, it's not, I'm sorry.
Oh, my God, those book things aren't going to come back, are they?
Well, everyone should read books. Yeah. Reading books is like lifting weights for your brain. But that being said, I mean, pretty soon anything that's on the internet will be on television because every single TV manufacturer.
Nielsen ratings just switched to now cover laptops and iPads or anything else people watch.
Look at what Netflix just did. This is actually an interesting story because Netflix, their new what's the name of the program? It's Kevin Spacey. It's a Washington D.C. and they basically it's not House of Lies. That's on Showtime. Shit, I can't remember the name of it. But anyway, what they did was they had a bankable star that was willing to do it. They had a show that was already successful in England, and then the director that came on to do it, I think it's David Fincher, which is like a super successful director. So they knew the numbers from David Fincher's catalog of stuff, which was a lot of the same people that watched Kevin Spacey stuff, which happened to be a lot of the people that watched the show in England. So they looked at this overarching three-thing pie chart, you know, a Venn diagram essentially, and where it came over, and they were like, oh yeah, look at this, we need to create a new show. Dumped a bunch of money into it, and it's hugely successful, and it's only been out for a little bit. Netflix did that. That's not an HBO. It's the same quality as an HBO show or Showtime or one of those shows, but it's done by Netflix.
That's awesome.
They bankrolled that. So, you know, the switch is happening before our eyes, and it's not just going to be about I don't even watch most TV. I have every channel that we have on the channel, or I have every single channel essentially on the TV, but I only watch like three or four of them, like MMA, you know, UFC or HBO, or watch these shows. But that's just because I live with a lot of roommates and we get a cheap cable bill. Because if I didn't have a ton of roommates, I probably might not even have cable or just get the channels that I want so I can watch Fighting and I can watch HBO and watch the dope shows that are on there.
See, I just do the Netflix because it's cheap.
Yeah.
And then I don't get stuck behind the TV. And then when I want to go watch something, you know, I go to a friend's house that's willing to pay for it.
Exactly. Exactly. But the thing is that is really changing before our eyes. And so, you know, that's not the Holy Grail. The Holy Grail right now is to produce something that we have control of, that's industry-based, that's run by guys that know what's up, you know, that played the sport before, and to make it's, you know, it's not about hitting a home run. That's the thing. Before is like everyone with paintball before was like, we need to get up to plate and swing for the fences. You know, it's like, we got to get it on TV. We got to get it on TV. Like, that would be great. And definitely paintball could live on TV. I'm not saying it's not going to get there. And
right.
TV still is obviously the most dominant medium of our time. But that being said, you know, I mean, there's like, you, I mean,
we're not ready. We got to get there.
Well, another thing too is it's a, you got to, you know, like when I was playing baseball, the coach would always say, dude, stop getting up there and swinging for the fences. You know, singles and doubles are going to score us runs, and runs are going to win us the game. Yeah. So it's not about doing something awesome once. It's about doing something that's rad.
Our plan was always to get on TV. Mm-hmm. Getting on TV doesn't get you anywhere. You need to get on TV and then you need to sustain that. And that's what next time, hopefully we have a TV opportunity, we have a plan to sustain TV.
Yeah. And if there's any TV executives out there, listen, I have a pilot written up for a reality show. It'd be badass. Please hit, you know, get in contact with me.
Chop, chop. Seriously, he's got a lot of offers coming in. If you're not the first one, you might not get this opportunity.
Well, you know, it's all about building
Paintball
the base.
Paintball Access can produce it, you know. Don't even worry about that. What's, I'm sorry.
You're already building the base, you know. I mean, we build the base now, and if TV or whatever comes along the way, then the base is built. But before, we were trying to go from 0 to 100, like you said, you know.
Yeah, for
you
sure.
Know, now we're building a good foundation and having stuff to back it up and things to, you know, pre-TV it with and not just to, you know. I think that's what the goal of this is, I hope, at least.
And I think we've learned from a lot of our mistakes, you know. We always thought, I think, to us, paintball was so cool that once people saw it on TV, it was a slam dunk, you know. So why make a plan on how to sustain that TV? Now, and then we get it on there and we figure, oh, well, no one knows what we're doing on the field. So maybe we should start telling people, you know, what we're doing out there. And we've just learned as we go what we have to do in order to get that interest, you know.
Yeah, and so if you're a paintball fan out there, please support the efforts of, you know, the companies that support the webcast and the players that play out there. I mean, there's these guys teach clinics. I mean, Rich has a field in Modesto. If you're anywhere near Modesto, go to Rich's field or his store, Extreme Paintball. You know, definitely support the sponsors because it's through the efforts of the players, it's through the efforts of these companies that are supporting the webcast that we're able to do what we do and that we need that support to continue. So email them,
and
let
grow.
Them know.
We need to grow so that we can eventually be what we need to be, which is the best sport in the world.
And we're at a different point.
It already is the best sport in the world. People just don't know about it yet.
Then a lot of times, you know, like we're saying, like we're doing this Splatmaster thing and that's just a total grassroots, get people started.
So good.
Enjoy. So we're growing the sport on a whole new level, a whole new, we're talking a new generation. Generation, you know, 6, 7 years old, you know, I mean, as people that we wouldn't even think would be able to play paintball for another 3 or 4 years. And then on the backside, we got the webcast that's educating the generation we have now on who the players are, who the teams are, building the characters and the, you know, the heroes, the villains, like you talked about, and hopefully, you know, building the point, you know. So I'm excited to be in paintball right now, you know. I mean, who knows if I'll be playing for 5 years, 10 years, you know, three, what, how many ever years I got left in me, but we're at a good point. And I feel honored to be on both sides of that coin, being able to be on the PB Access, which is the pinnacle of our paintball as a tournament right now, and to be also in the grassroots with JT Splatmaster and introducing kids into paintball. And, you know, like you said, to being a dad and having my son being 3, you know, we go out in the yard and we're starting to shoot targets and he's like, yeah, dad, you know, he wants to load it himself. He wants to do all this stuff. Like, I mean, that is awesome to
he's
see that.
He's actually contacted
kind of
me twice to try to take Thomas's spot.
Yeah, you know, hey.
I was like, Keith,
well,
you need to talk to your dad about that.
He ran his 400 yesterday. Keith ran a full 400.
No way.
3 years old, ran a 400, man. I almost brought a tear to my eye. I'm not even kidding. He just kept going and going, and there was this, you know, everybody's out there doing track, and, you know, this guy's bent over, he's like tying his shoe or something, looks up, and was like, wow, you know, and he's about, you know, a little over a third into it. Keith looks at me, you know, Cars is one of his favorite shows, you know, and he gets that, like, you know, Lightning McQueen, like, you know, when that face turns, gets that look and just bears down, and he sprints like a full straight 100, like his full speed. I'm thinking, oh, well, that's it. He's going to gas himself. And he started slowing down after that. He's all, whoo, daddy, this running makes you tired. You know?
He's going to be a beast.
But he finished the full 400, dude. He had 3 sets on the stairs.
Yeah. You're like, yeah, kid. Dude, it's called hard work.
Yeah. So after a while, like, we were doing the cone drills, you know, doing that, you know, like suicides or whatever. He comes over after one. He's like, yeah, I'm getting real hungry.
Feed me, Seymour.
That's great. Well, thank you guys for sitting in. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having us down, bro.
No problem. Let's do it again. I know you guys come down here a decent amount. So
we're here all the time.
There's a lot. We didn't even get into the history of Excessive or anything.
Yeah. Well, if you want to know, get yourself a copy of Heroes for a Day.
Yeah, like you were saying about Heroes
for
a Day.
We'll fill you up in the second half. Yeah, we got a lot to talk about. We got to hit some of that old stuff, some of the new stuff.
Yeah.
You know,
didn't even tell my How I Met Thomas Taylor story. That's always good.
Oh, man, that's a good one.
Yeah.
I was just over in Europe and Germany, and Heroes for a Day is huge over there. Excessive is still huge over there. JT is huge over there. And it was such a welcome. You know, I haven't been over there in 4 or 5 years, and it was such a welcome. You know, like over here, we most of the people we see are our competitors, so they're not super stoked on, you know, the trials and tribulations and what we've done in the past. And going back there again kind of recharged me, like, this is awesome. People still care that we're doing this. That's awesome. Let's do more.
That's great, man. Yeah, it's so. Before we go, any sponsors you'd like to thank or any shout outs you'd like to give?
JT, obviously. Mm-hmm. Key on it.
Get on it.
Yeah, you know,
get on it.
You know, if you don't know about JT Splatmaster,
new gun coming out. New gun coming out.
Share it with the kids.
Tight.
You know, get your kids, get your cousins, get your friends, your nieces, nephews.
Play
Splatmaster. Get them in the Splatmaster. You know, for me personally, you know, I think that's a huge thing for our sport, and I'm glad to be a part of it. JT's sponsoring us well. Empire's doing us right. You know, if you want to help me out, you know, I got my own line. Hit me up Facebook. Hit me up on any one of the random social media.
Is it still,
you know,
Style Points?
I still have the Style Points line. Basically, I've just been doing limited runs of just random Thomas Taylor gears, you know, shorts, shirts, hats. You know, and that's all done by Raza. They've helped me out. You know, Raza's a great company, so, you know, they got my back. But, you know, it's been real cool to be actually part of a company now, be part of JT and JT Splatmaster with
that's awesome.
With Key's backing. You know, it's a... I said it's they're good to us and they're good for the sport, man. I don't see any. I've never seen a company that's done this much to try to grow the sport.
For sure,
to be part of that.
And again, support the sponsors, guys. You know, I mean, you hear us up here. We got to give these plugs because you know what, they deserve it. For Christ's sake, you know what I'm saying?
We wouldn't be here without them, right?
No, these companies are trying to make the best products they can, and they're helping out the sport at all levels. So, you know, help. You know, when you're looking at the webcast, I mean, the companies that you see the commercials for, and then, you know, the companies you see support these players, those are the people that care about the sport.
Yeah, and support your local paintball shop and your local paintball field, you know? A lot of kids go out there and they buy online, and they kind of miss the whole educational process, you know? They don't get to go talk to someone. They don't get to go feel the product. And then they're not happy with it. Go to your local paintball shop. Go to your local paintball field. Support those guys so they can, you know, continue to support the sport as well.
Absolutely. And where can people get in touch with you for clinics, Thomas? I know you still teach clinics.
You know, you can hit me up. Just the best way is to hit me up on my Facebook. You know, I got two Facebooks, just Thomas Taylor, you know, or Thomas Taylor Athlete. You can also email me at t_troll77@yahoo.com. So if you want to hit me up, if, you know, your team, your field, you know, always trying to set up stuff with that, or even a Splatmaster event. You know, doing a lot of those these days. In fact, next week, got to get to go to Virginia to an event called Wildfire. There's going to be like 9,000 father and sons there. Tim Tebow is a speaker. The guy from Duck Dynasty is a speaker. We're putting up a huge Splatmaster event. And, you know, that's, like I said, the cool thing about being part of this company, you know, is they're not there selling a thing, man. We're just there growing paintball.
Yeah.
We're spending money to grow paintball. We're not trying to sell a product there. We're not trying to do anything but get people excited about it. And what better than a father-son event? And for me, it happens to be, based on a Christian event. You know, there's good speakers, and that's a joy. Not only get to work in paintball, but they're going to send me an event where I would love to be at.
That you probably wanted to go to anyway.
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah. I would have loved to have been there either way, and to be able to, share my testimony, hopefully, with some people, and to be a positive example, in some kids' lives while I'm there. I'm stoked about it.
Are you still doing services and stuff too occasionally at the
events? I don't get to share that a lot, but every event we go to, there's Saturday, usually around 4 or 5, depending on the schedule. We get together, we pray, we read a little bit, you know, anybody has anything to talk about. So, you know, please hit me up. Hit me up online if you're going to be at an event. If you just want, maybe if you need, you know, need someone to pray with, you just want someone to talk to, you just hang out. But, you know, a random group each time. It's always different. Sometimes there's 3 of us. Sometimes there's 25 of us, and we just get together and hang out for a little bit and just rap. And it's always a cool time, man. It's really cool
time.
That's
awesome, man. That's really good. Well, thank you guys for tuning in to the Real Deal Podcast. I'm Matty Marshall, and we will see you next time.
Word.
Watch the webcast.